Hello and welcome to Geek Culture Online. I'm your host, Patrick Boland. We are in the middle of phase two, and this is number 11?
I think it's 12,
because I know that we have 10 left to go, so it has to be 12. I'm here with my co-hosts, Ethan and Larry.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're going to continue with our marathon MCU.
Extravaganza.
Marvel-palooza.
I like that one
that's
better.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, so that's going to be the name of the episode, Marvel-palooza. There we go. We know who to blame now.
It's a moneymaker.
Yeah, all right. So this one is Avengers: The Age of Ultron. We're not going to go to the comparison and the deviation from the comic books. We're just going to go what's on the screen.
And there's a lot to unpack.
There is a ton of unpack. Now, this one opens with just the Marvel logo and then dives immediately into the movie. There's no intro. There's no opening sequence. There's no setting things up.
You're just the battle scene.
Yeah, just thrown into the deep end of the pool, and you have to deal with it from there. Now,
so don't be late with your popcorn, people.
Basically, yes, this is one of the ones that you need to watch several times because of all the little nuances on the screen. And I even freeze framed it and took several screenshots as I was rewatching this, trying to pick up things because people have said there is a major Easter egg that has never been found in here. And right now, the ground surge that's going on right now in forums and things is that Age of Ultron has a lot to do with Endgame.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Absolutely.
And
Infinity War, too.
And Infinity
War. Right. Set it up.
And again, I think when I saw this movie at the theater, I understood parts of it, and we'll talk about this. A lot of things flew over my head. Now seeing the entire MCU
in order,
I'm like, okay, the Thanos thing, a lot more stuff.
Wakanda,
Wakanda, right? With what's
Claw.
With Claw's in there, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, he's in there, and of course, you saw him, but like, okay, who cares? But now you understand the significance.
All the pieces are falling into place.
The seeds that have been planted and are now sprouting.
Yes, because now we're also introduced. We were introduced in the last movie, but Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch play a major part in this.
Well, they were teased in the after credits scene for Winter Soldier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and interesting is that a scene in Winter Soldier is brought up in Doctor Strange. I will emphasize that when we get to Doctor Strange.
All right.
Okay, and so now we're also introduced to another villain, Strucker.
Yes, Barn Strucker.
Well, he was in an after credit scene too, though.
The same after credit scene showed Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Very briefly, but right.
Yes.
But he's more fleshed out here.
Yes.
Yeah. And before we started recording, Ethan mentioned something about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. So as I was looking up some of the trivia on the movie, there was an episode in season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which would have aired shortly before this movie came out, where there was a part of one of the episodes where Coulson finds Loki's scepter at a Hydra facility, and he contacts Maria Hill to let her know where it is. And then basically that's the chain of events that sets up the opening scene where the Avengers are there in Sokovia trying to get the scepter.
Yeah, because in that fight sequence of mentioning it, that they've been hunting it, going from Hydra base to trying to find the scepter, and now that with that tie-in to the S.H.I.E.L.D., that makes sense that they narrowed in on this one base and why the base had shielding over it, so Iron Man couldn't get in.
Right, defenses.
And another tie-in I saw is one of the doctors who's working with Strucker played this. It's the same actor playing the same character that he played on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So he played the same Hydra doctor on S.H.I.E.L.D. So another connection between the series and the movies.
So they're making sure that everything ties together. Yep. They're now getting to the point where now they're setting up.
What's your favorite
and
word,
together.
Patrick? Continuity.
Continuity.
Yes, and so now they're introducing how the Avengers are a well-oiled machine. The way that they're reacting, it seems like they've done this multiple times because of the interaction of Black Widow and the Hulk. They figured out a way of turning the Hulk off through a hypnotic or a suggestion that she goes through, because she goes, what is it?
They call it a lullaby.
The sun's getting really low.
It's like certain verbiage and how
and suggestion.
She touches hands and kisses.
Right.
And then he goes from the Hulk back to Banner. So.
But there's more to the story. There's the budding relationship between
that seems Dr. to be happening Banner there. Now I think it was the Tonight Show. No, it was Kimmel. Well, one of the talk shows there, they had the whole entire
Jimmy Kimmel had it
because the
Infinity War.
Well, this is for the Age of Ultron. Because
was Age of Ultron too?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Well, it probably was Kimmel, because that's ABC, which is owned by Disney.
So. Because they were making fun of Black Widow on the show, saying that she's being such a slut going through all the Avengers because of her having a quote-unquote relationship with Hawkeye. And now she's having a
whole... We can talk about that. I'm not so sure about
that. Well, it's not really...
I don't think it's so much a romantic relationship. I think it's more...
A professional?
Or even that they're close.
Yeah.
Because she's... Because she... I don't want to get ahead, because there's the whole part when later on when we see Hawkeye's family. So
we'll get to that. Because I want to emphasize that scene.
But then there was also the comment when Cap says something to Banner about him and Natasha, and then he says, "Oh, she's just, you know, she's always flirting." He said, "No, I've seen her flirting up close and personal."
And he goes,
"And then later on, Banner's like, wait, what do you mean up close and personal?" So, and I think that's kind of referring to how, like in Winter Soldier, that Nat and Cap were working together, and she might have, you know, flirted with him a little bit.
But don't forget, she had that necklace of the arrow around her neck.
She is a Russian super spy.
She was
you're trained to flirt with everybody, that's all.
But the thing is that, you know, remember the footage they show of her saying like this is just like Budapest, and he goes like you remember Budapest a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a working relationship, I think, goes more into it. But anyway, so they have this big fight sequence to break into the base, and they manage to get the scepter. Mm-hmm. But they also introduce Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Although they don't really call them by those names.
No, they don't.
They're just Wanda and Petro.
They're called
Maximoff.
The twins, or the Maximoffs.
Yeah.
Now, they also call them enhanced.
Yes.
For the reason is they can't use the word mutant, because mutant's tied to the X-Men.
Really? Is that tied?
Yes. Yeah,
tied to
and
Fox.
So in the comics, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are mutants, and in fact, they're the children of Magneto.
Are they technically in this movie as well? Are they children?
Their origin, the way they tell it, is they got their powers from Hydra experimenting on them with scepter.
That's right. And that's why when I heard the word enhanced, I just kind of assumed kind of like Captain America.
Superheroes in general, right. Yeah.
So, yeah, they got their powers artificially, and they seemed, the way that they were talking, Strickler and the other scientists that were saying they were the survivors. So they apparently had a whole bunch
of experiments,
and these are the only ones that survived going through the process.
Patrick and Ethan, not to be crude, but think of Dr. Mengele in Nazi Germany in World War II. Concentration camps, which is a little bit of the Magneto story as well.
Yeah, but there's a wonderful podcast that I just listened to an episode. So, this is several weeks ago. That was at the beginning of February when I was listening to that podcast. It was from the last podcast on the left. They did a three-parter on him. So if you know, you can pick up those episodes, and that's interesting that you bring that up. Yeah. You know.
Well, then after there's also the line that Cap gives when I think it's Hawkeye's talking to him about the twins and about them being, and he says something, you'd have to be crazy to let some German scientists experiment on you.
Yeah, is it Cap and Hawkeye, or is it the Coulson? Is it the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. lady? I think it's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, or Hill.
Hill, whatever.
Yeah.
By the way, because he's in an elevator and he's like kind of like smirking about it, because of course, you know.
Because of course he was working with a German scientist when he got the Super Soldier season. But I think she goes. But we're not at war.
He says, but they are.
Yes.
So again, there's that, you know, and I think that's what you see in this movie. You get a little bit I mean, again, I don't think anybody's rooting. Well, I'm sure there's some people rooting against the Avengers. Not our listeners, of course, right, Patrick? Mm. But most people view the Avengers as the Avengers, as saviors, as helpers. But not everybody views them that way. And I think you're getting little.
The people of New York had it. Saw it two different ways. They're the cause of it, and they were right. The ones that saved everybody. Right, there was no in between.
Right. So you're getting a little bit of that, you know, the Sokovia, you know, especially the twins. That's how they're called.
Well,
they have a little different attitude of Tony Stark. I mean, they really hate Tony Stark because he's.
Well, we haven't gotten to that.
No, I know. Okay. Well.
Yeah. So they get the scepter.
Right. They do retrieve the scepter. They go, and then Hawkeye's injured.
But one of the things that's significant that happens is while they're working on getting the scepter, and they fight a little bit with the twins. Mm-hmm. Wanda, Scarlet Witch, uses her spell power, or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. on a couple of the Avengers, and causes them to have visions.
And actually,
hallucinations are visions.
Because
right?
a lot of people, when I first saw this, I thought that they were seeing into the future. They're just like the worst case scenario hallucinations.
Right. So Thor sees. Heimdall, and he's seeing Asgard destroyed.
Right.
Cap goes back to the 40s and is dancing with Peggy Carter at the VFW hall or whatever, and everybody disappears.
So he's all
and then
alone.
Tony goes back to when he's in the wormhole, and then he's on a mountain. And he sees everybody dead.
And honestly, my comment to that, I was going to say this: Scarlet Witch really, she is Ultron, because. Yeah, I think if Scarlet Witch didn't put that spell on him, Ultron would have never been triggered. I truly believe that.
Well, Thor...
That spell on Tony?
Spell on Tony, right?
Yes.
He puts the spell on Tony where he sees all the dead people
right.
on the stairs.
That put the...
And that puts the bug in him, basically.
Yes.
I think he was already there, but it heightened it. Like, he was... Because he obviously was already working on the Ultron protocol. He and Banner had worked on it
but
and
I
talked
think,
about
I think
it.
That literally
But it gave him a little impetus. Yeah.
I think that scared the bejesus out
yes,
of him.
Yes, I agree.
And again... When I saw that scene again, I'm saying, is this at the end of Infinity War? I'm like, no. I mean, because I'm trying to think, who's dead at the end of Infinity War and who's alive?
You get closer to your mic. All of a sudden, it died off.
Sorry.
No, that's just me.
Yeah, and actually, at the end of Infinity War, these original core Avengers are the ones who are still alive.
Because
Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow... Hawkeye are all still alive. It's all the other ones who have...
Like Spider-Man's gone.
Who have disappeared.
Why?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So
Drax
we'll
is
find
gone.
Out probably April 26th.
We'll find out very shortly. Yeah,
yeah
a few months.
A few weeks.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
Now, we've been talking about this off mic, but what we're going to be doing is, since Captain Marvel comes out in 2 weeks, we're going to interrupt our order of doing things and talk about a pre and post on Captain Marvel, and then we're going
to
go back to our regular schedule.
So we'll pick up wherever we leave off.
Right. We have to talk about Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Well, no, because that's going to be the linchpin to everything.
Yes.
Yes. So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but then also with that whole scene, When Wanda is kind of getting in everybody's head, she walks up to Hawkeye, and then remember he stops her and he says, "I've done that mind control thing, didn't like it,
or hated it,
or something like that." Yeah, because of course that's referring back to
the first Avengers
when Loki had Hawkeye under mind control.
Right, exactly. And again, I kept looking for Loki. I'm like, "Where's Loki, my buddy?" But that's okay.
So let's
speed up. So we're at, they get the scepter.
Well, they also they were introduced to Veronica.
They mentioned
and
Veronica.
The Hulkbuster armor.
Yes.
Right. Well,
yes.
That comes a little bit later. They mention Veronica, but we don't see it until later when they go to Africa. When they go to Africa.
Oh, okay. I'm blending the two fight sequences.
Yes, you are.
That's much later.
Get the scepter. Then Tony asks if he can just have it for a couple of days.
Right.
And Thor agrees.
Right.
And so then they take it back to Avengers Tower, formerly Stark Tower.
Right.
And then they have the
party. The big party. I love that party.
Because Thor mentions that you have to have revels after you've won a battle.
He goes, of course, revels.
Everyone loves revels.
Right. That's Tony's like, revels, of course. Revels are the best.
So they have the party, and they're all there, but also Rhodey is there, and Sam Wilson, Falcon is there, and Hill.
Right.
and then a bunch of
Stan Lee's there.
A bunch of World War II vets, including Stan Lee.
Which is hilarious because then that's the only place where Captain felt normal is when he had all these retired soldiers.
All these 80-year-old guys, 80 and 90-year-old guys.
Right, technically that's his age.
Well, technically he is 80.
But just jump before the party. They're running the research, and this is where Jarvis is trying to help Tony and Dr. Banner, but really Tony.
It's like artificial
intelligence. It's like computer code. Mm-hmm. And so then as they walk away from the lab, that's when you get like this singularity almost.
Yes.
Like, and then he starts talking. Ultron starts talking to Jarvis, and Jarvis and in essence are kind of like this tete-a-tete, you know.
Right.
The
other thing then is Tony convinces Banner to go ahead and try to get the Ultron program started, utilizing the tech from the stone.
Right.
Banner doesn't like it, and Banner doesn't want to do it behind the rest of the team's back.
Right. Now,
and Tony doesn't want to tell everyone.
Right. You know, while they're in the lab, I found it very interesting. Stark was still drinking his green drink.
Wheatgrass.
Juice.
Yeah.
And then the drones that's Tony was still using. I think that's kind of like a throwback
to Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3,
which is the final scene.
So yeah, he's taking it to one step further. He keeps seeing a good idea, and so
instead of using his old armor just by themselves, he's created these
drones, the full robots.
Iron Legion.
Yeah. And they're all numbered, which I found was interesting.
Yes, they are numbered. This is important too. When they were fighting in Sokovia, so some of them were over, the robots flew there to fight, and then they come back to the tower, and they're being brought through and serviced, and so some damaged parts are removed, and it's those parts piled together that Ultron first inhabits.
Oh, really? Is that where the parts? Yeah. Oh, that's
awesome. If you notice the face mask is all like scarred damaged up and damaged.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't get that. I freeze framed it before he became sentient. It said Avion Ultron Program 8.7 Ultra Program Scepter Integration EST-77. And so I tried to find the significance between the 8.7 and the 77. Couldn't find any integration because Ultron was first introduced in Avengers 54. Wasn't named until 50.
Avengers 55.
555.
And so those came out in 1968.
68.
So, a very fine year.
Yeah. And so there was connection. There's got to be some type of connection here. I just don't see it. And then there was the scene where they emphasized the worthiness of Thor's hammer.
Right.
Yes.
So the whole thing of how Thor is the only one who can wield the hammer.
Because.
And they're saying that, this is some kind of parlor trick.
Right. It's a party trick. Right.
And so he says, fine, we'll see if you can do it. So Hawkeye tries to do it. He can't.
Right.
Tony comes over. Tony goes and gets one of his armor.
Captain
gloves.
America's tries. Nobody.
And Tony and Rhodey are doing it together, and they can't get it to move.
Then Hulk tried it.
Yeah.
You know, Black Widow, they ask her to do it. She goes, that's a question I don't need to answer.
Right? But the interesting thing is when Cap grabs it, it moves. He doesn't lift it all the way up.
It does move a little bit. Yes.
And when he does that, you see Thor's facial expression change. He kind of surprised.
Even though I said I wouldn't talk about the comic books, Captain America does wield the hammer in the comic books.
Okay, so maybe they're throwing an homage.
Also, Cap is the one who's worthy because he's the most honest. He's the most honest and
he's the forthright. He's the leader. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and then I like what Tony says when he says when I pick this up, I'm going to activate Prima Noche. Yes. And that's an old term for when like a ruler he's running his land. The rule is that all the wedding nights of all new things. He beds the bride the first night.
Prima Noche.
The Lord beds the bride the first night.
Sounds like from the Roman Empire.
Yes.
Or medieval times.
Yes. So it's funny that he would say that, and it went flying past the censors. So.
I missed that totally myself.
Oh, and then when they were talking about starting it right before, after Ultron wakes up, destroys everything, and he leaves. Tony...
Well, he doesn't leave. Thor smashes him finally.
Through the window. Right. Yeah. And so... they're going like, why don't you tell us what you were doing? And he says, that's because that 300 feet above us, right, when this is happening, that's the end game.
And I didn't hear that at first. So when I was watching it again, literally last night, I paused it, I rewound it, I cranked up the volume. To myself, I think he said end game.
And then he also says, and I think, or is it he or Cap says, well, We win. We win together.
How are we going to go against that? And right. And Cap goes together. And he says we'll lose. We'll lose that together.
Right. And again,
which is a little bit of foreshadowing for
another ten years.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was something on the TV or something. So they were talking about the Invaders created the Avengers.
Yes.
The Invaders was another comic book team.
Okay.
So it was a comic book team that was set in World War II of Captain America, the original Human Torch,
and Submariner.
Okay. And Bucky.
Lady Liberty.
Yes.
And...
That was later. The original team was Captain America, Submariner, Human Torch, and Bucky.
And Bucky. Okay. And then
Union Jack was in.
And Union Jack,
and that was on a TV. What TV was that on?
Oh no, that was a comic book.
Right, but you said the Invaders.
Well, no, there was a reporter talking about that, and that was a line that he dropped. So I thought, oh, all right.
Yeah, I caught that too. Little Easter egg.
Yeah.
But another point that's relevant to the story is that so when they were in the first battle in Sokovia at the beginning of the film. Mm. Hawkeye gets injured.
Yes.
And so then when they bring him back to Stark Tower, Dr. Cho is there, and she's using this synthetic material that bonds to his flesh.
And makes synthetic...
Synthetic flesh, skin, basically. Yes. Synthetic skin.
Yes.
To patch up his wound. And that's relevant because she gets pulled in later on.
Sucked in later on in this.
With the whole story with Ultron. So.
Yes. So now they're like, okay, we've lost... we don't know who Ultron is. We lost the scepter, and what the hell are we gonna do?
We lost the scepter. Or Jarvis is gone.
They think Jarvis. Yeah,
they think he's gone because they can't find him because he's been
fragmented throughout the internet.
Right. Again, this is the post Ultron being smashed to bits, and the drones that who became evil.
Yeah,
get smashed as well. And I think so. Again, going back to the Scarlet Witch, I mean, I really think that seems. Remember, Scarlet Witch and I'm sorry, her brother,
Quicksilver,
they hate Tony Stark. Remember, I mean, if there's one person,
they're going to bring that up. The reason why,
right?
Yeah, with the Sokovia battle,
right? But they hate Tony Stark. So again, going back to the hallucinations or dream sequences, whatever you want to call them, early on in that first battle. I think Scarlet Witch just wanted to put the bug in Tony. You know, I mean, if she could have killed him, she would have killed him right there.
Well, I think that that Ultron really didn't need Quicksilver or Scarlet Witch. He just used them to stir the pot, like Loki did by getting Hulk aboard the helicarrier. Because if they didn't stir the pot there, so they're kind of like. Two villains doing the same strategy, trying to get the team to fight against each other.
Right.
Because if they coalesce, they'll win.
Right. They should be able to win. Exactly. But I just think Scarlet Witch had such a very she had vengeance on her brain. So if she could have fried Tony's brain early on, she would have. But maybe she can't. So she put enough to get him to create this monstrosity.
Well,
which shouldn't be a monstrosity.
She probably didn't know what he was going to do, but
right.
But she put. I think that because I saw that dream sequence now twice in the last week. Mm-hmm. You know, all those dream sequences, and they're all nasty. They're all very difficult. I think the Thor one's very difficult for the Asgard, but and I kept looking at that dream, saying, "Is this Infinity War? Is this Endgame?" I'm like, no, it's not. But it's pretty damn close.
Because when I first saw it, I thought it was them seeing the future. But no, it's just nothing but their deepest fears.
But at the same time, like Larry's saying, that the vision that Tony has could be related to Infinity War, and the vision that Thor has could definitely be related to what happened in Ragnarok with right. Asgard being destroyed, and then eventually the beginning of Infinity War, half of the Asgardians that were left were wiped out by Thanos.
That's true. So maybe the all the broodiness that we see from the survivors and from Infinity Wars because they're thinking about this hallucination.
It could right? be. Yeah, it could be. I mean, think about it.
Post-traumatic stress
syndrome. PTSD. Well, I mean, you know, if you have a powerful dream, I can, and we don't have time for it, but I can give you some of the most powerful dreams I've had. I haven't had one lately for years, but I had a reoccurring dream. And again, it sticks with you. Mm-hmm. It really does stick with you. So, I mean, that can alter your mindset. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm getting at. Scarlet Witch is, I think, her little injection of her mischievous hallucinations, if you want to call it, I think really changed. And maybe it's just foreshadowing by Marvel. Maybe it's saying, hey, buckle up, people.
Right.
Because we got some crazy stuff coming.
Now, after they Ultron leaves, don't they go to Bart's house then at that point? Or is that after the battle with the Hulkbuster?
No, Hulkbuster's later.
They go to the house first?
They go to the house first, yeah, because that defeat of Ultron.
No, it is after the Hulkbuster.
It's after they go to Africa because they fight Ultron on the boat with Claw, where Claw is.
Claw, yeah. Oh, and right. the boat is called the Churchill.
Yeah. But the way they get there is their Banner. What it was Banner was researching something, and he comes across Claw's name and right. a picture, and Tony recognizes him
because of
arm being in the arms business,
business, and the
tattoo
or the brand right. that was on him, which is Wakanda for thief.
Right. And Banner first says, he says Wakanda, or he mispronounces it.
Yeah, he mispronounces it.
And then they say something about Wakanda, and then Tony and Cap look at each other, and Cap says, I thought your father got all of the vibranium out of there. And he said, oh, there must have been more. And
so that's
now we know there's a lot more. Down.
Right, yeah.
More. And even more.
Right.
And so they go to the boat because they're going to try to... You know, because they think that's for the signal where the scepter is, right?
Right. Ultron, immediately after leaving them, he's going around trying to collect
weapons and arms,
and what have you. So
he kills Stryker.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
There goes another villain. There's killing villains right and left. Somebody's got to be alive sometime. But so they go there. They interrupt Claw. Oh, he's not Claw at this point.
No, his name is Ulysses Claw.
No, that's his name. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't go by that. But yeah.
But his villain's name is the Claw because he has a sonic claw.
Well, because of this movie.
Yeah.
This movie, it happens.
Yes. You know, that explains that. You know, right. But it just they have a big drag out fight. Ultron gets there. He finds the vibranium. He takes the vibranium.
Right.
Then the Avengers show up and they beat the tar out of each other. And then Scarlet Witch zaps everybody again.
Right. Again,
so everybody's freaking out, and she puts a really bad bee in the Hulk's bonnet. He goes freaking out and goes into a major city out of the boat ghost yard.
Right.
And that's where we're introduced into the Hulkbuster
armor. Right.
And Veronica.
Patrick is smiling. He's like so happy about the Hulkbuster armor.
So then there's the huge fight between Iron Man in the Hulkbuster armor fighting against Hulk. And I believe they filmed this in South Africa, so I'm assuming it's like either Johannesburg or Durban or somewhere like that. So
yes. If you do have the Blu-ray or the DVD, there's a behind-the-scenes sequence that you're able to watch there, and they show all six places across the world they filmed this at.
Yeah.
Okay.
And after he finished, he gets Hulk... calm down and gets him back into being Banner.
Well, how they do that? They have the big out fight, and then the Hulk climbs out of Veronica. He knocks a building on him.
Right.
He climbs out of the rubble, and then out of nowhere, Tony smacks him just like in the first Avengers with right. Thor and the Hulk. So he zaps him the same way, a right hook out of nowhere, and that's where how they get him under control and back onto the Quinjet.
And so then this is when they go back to Barton's
place.
Right.
Barton's Hawkeye's
farm.
Place.
Hawkeye's farm, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like the surprising thing because...
Well, nobody... Yeah, I didn't see this coming. I didn't even... You know, in the... Okay, I'm not going to ring the comic books in it.
But previously, we have not heard anything about him having a family. There's mm-hmm. even... There was even a line, I think when they're at the party, they say something about his girlfriend, and he says, I don't have a girlfriend. But then later on, he's on the phone.
That's from the
doctor. Yeah, when she's putting the skin on him.
Yeah.
And then later on, he's on the phone, and I think Cap says, who are you talking to? And he says, oh, I was talking to my girlfriend.
Yeah.
So then we get to the farm, and it's funny because Tony says, oh, this is, you know, some kind of shield, because he says it's a safe house. And he says, oh, there's a shield safe house. And so the wife comes in and hugs him. He's like, oh, she must be a shield agent.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the kid's coming, he's like, very small no, shield agents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's very confused, right?
Oh, and the wife's name is Laura. I didn't catch the kids' names, but the Nathan's going to be the
is the baby like 6 months prior, the baby that we see at the end is Nathan.
Nathan,
because at first, Natalie Black Widow says, how's baby Nat coming? She says, well, it's not Nat anymore, it's Nathan. Mm-hmm. She looks at the baby and says, traitor.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing here is, you know, they're showing, and you know, if I'm Hawkeye, I wouldn't want to tell everybody that I have a family.
Well,
I mean, you know, I want to.
Well, he even says that was part of. He said that was part of his deal when he signed on with Fury, right. is that there would be nothing about his family in any of his files.
Right.
Yeah, and strange that Laura knew about Black Widow. But they knew each other.
That's why I question right. the whole thing about them having a romance.
That's why
because
I was thinking too.
Because they're obviously. Should they've met before? She knows her. She knows mm-hmm. the kids. The kids call her Auntie Nat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Also when they're introduced there, and Banner looks at Black Widow, and Black Widow does purposely doesn't make eye contact. She's not wearing the necklace anymore.
No.
You know, and so all the movies that she was in, she was always had the necklace with the arrow.
I've seen it.
She doesn't.
Well, I think they're just.
I think there was something there. It's not there anymore.
Or could it be that originally the producers and writers were going to have something be there, and then when they did this movie, they decided to write in his family. They just got rid of that.
Insisted. I thought he wanted something with Hawkeye because he. The actor felt like he got the short end of the stick in the first movie, so he wanted to beef the character up in this one. So I think
they definitely beefed the character up with the family and the kids and
right.
I mean, basically his house,
Nice house.
Yeah,
it's a farm, and it's a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So
I mean, he kind of saved their asses basically because yeah. I mean they got a whooping
I think Laura knew about. Fury, because she goes, my tractor isn't working.
Cliff wants you to take a look at the tractor and the barn. He goes in there. He says, come here. Hello, dear, because it's a John Deere.
Yeah.
And then Fury's there in the barn with him.
Yes, and so they go this little thing through it, Nick Fury and everybody's on the same page, basically. They have this big powwow in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So how are we going to do this? And they basically say, well, we're going to do this without tech. You know.
Right. And then they talk about this interface in Norway
mm-hmm.
where everything on the internet goes through. It's supposed to be the highest speed data.
Yeah. What was that called? The Nexus.
The Nexus, right. So.
Which is kind of funny because in Florida, there's a nexus to everywhere, which the man thing and Howard the Duck
different
protect.
Kind of nexus, though.
Hmm?
That's a different kind of nexus.
Yeah.
Tony says that he'll go to Norway to figure out who's hacking into the nexus.
Mm. Okay, keep going.
And then Captain America, Hawkeye, and Black Widow go to Korea because they find out that Ultron has gone to. They figure out that he's gone to Dr. Cho.
Dr. Cho,
because they figure out he's
the bioengineering lab,
right? Because they figure out that what Ultron wants to do is to because he mentions
evolving
and being his form was a chrysalis, and somebody's looking at a picture of a butterfly that one of Hawkeye's kids has drawn. So they figure out that he's trying to evolve. Well, who would he utilize for that? And somebody checked on Dr. Cho,
right?
Yeah. And so that so everybody's got their own missions.
Yes.
Right. So they're split apart.
And so meanwhile, Ultron is at Dr. Cho's lab. He's gotten control of her using the scepter, and he's having her create an artificial body using her tech cradle technology
and
vibranium. Because she says, you know, she couldn't create a body. Well, he gives her the vibranium to help her do that.
He's trying to make the ultimate body. The
She goes, oh, look how the vibranium is adhering to these artificial cells. So it's just everything. That was the missing piece that she needed to be able to do
and,
her research.
And then she starts to download his consciousness into the new body. And so she says it's creating a brain in there. So then Wanda is now able to read his mind.
Yeah, because it's going from a robot to an artificial creation.
Intelligence. Organic.
Organic.
A cyborg?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So she's able to read the mind, and that's where she sees what Ultron is really up to and that he wants to
extinguish
all human life.
Correct.
And
on the planet.
And so that helps to kind of turn Wanda and Quicksilver against Ultron to eventually, you know, side up with the Avengers.
And then we have Thor going to the cave to try to find the reason why the visions
he saw,
interpret more of it.
Yeah, because he shows up to see Selvig and he's got the hoodie on, and Selvig says, well, nice look, but if you're going for conspicuous, it's not working. Conspicuous.
I love it. They're bringing all these other characters in that tie everything else together.
I love Dr. Selvig. I thought he was a great character in the Thor movies.
So they go in there. He gets dunked into a mystical cave, so he's able to go back into the trance to his hallucination, and we see four.
The four Infinity Stones. So the Mind Stone that's in the Scepter, the Tesseract, the Aether that was in Thor Dark World, and then the Stone that was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. And a very faint
outline, like it's in the Gauntlet.
Of the Gauntlet.
Right. Which, of course, I don't know that's the Gauntlet, but now we know it's
now
the
we
Gauntlet.
Know it, yeah. So then in Korea, the Avengers who go there, they chase Ultron out of the building. The cradle is on a truck. They're chasing after him. There's a huge chase scene and lots of action. The things crashing, going up.
Captain America's there. Right. Black Widow's there. Black Widow is taken prisoner.
Yes. And after she gets the cradle onto the Quinjet that Hawkeye's flying.
So she completes the mission.
She throws herself on the wire, so to speak.
Right. So to speak, yeah.
Right. So they have at least secured the cradle away from Ultron. They bring that back to Avengers
Tony's
Tower.
Land. Yes.
Right. And then Tony reveals that he figures out he discovered who was hacking into the Nexus, and it was Jarvis.
He puts Jarvis back together, and now they got this artificial being, Jarvis, and Tony goes like, you know, I can finish this.
They're like, no, this is what started it all in the first place.
Right. Now the Banner says this is very significant, okay? Banner says, I feel like I'm trapped in a time loop.
We don't know if that's significant or not yet.
Because he could just be saying that because this is like the same thing that happened earlier in the movie when they created Ultron.
I mean, that's your theory, Patrick, about Endgame and Infinity War. We don't know if that's correct.
Right, but okay. But Tony says this is the Endgame. Okay. I feel like I'm time
Those could
loop.
Be red herrings, too.
Yeah.
Okay, but this was done years and years before Infinity Gauntlet.
But they had the story all mapped out.
And then Stark says, not a loop, it's the end of the line.
So then they start actually fighting over whether they're going to do it or not. So definitely Cap and some of the others are against Tony wanting
totally
to do that.
But it all
ends when who shows up?
Thor.
Thor comes flying in.
Quicksilver breaks all the connections so they can't control what's going on in the capsule.
Cradle.
Thor comes along, takes an assessment, and goes, I'm going to make a judgment call. I'm going to do a what do they call that? Audible.
I call it executive decision.
Yeah, executive decision and audible. And fires the capsule full right. with so much energy, it overloads
with his,
it.
It overloads. With his Thunderbolt,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And that's when we see the Vision pop up out of the cradle.
Okay, so help me out. This is my ignorance. So why is it Vision now? So it was Jarvis, now it's Vision?
It's not Jarvis. It's a combination of the pieces of Ultron, the Jarvis program, most of the internet, into an artificial being.
Right.
And some design done by Banner and Stark.
Okay. Banner, Stark, and the alien technology, whatever the program
because they use the artificial
matrix to put in there. So it's got four pieces in there.
Okay, and the Vision character was something from the comics, right?
Yes.
The difference is that Ultron.
It's the same voice.
It's the same voice as Jarvis, but in the comics he wasn't Jarvis. He didn't use Jarvis's program. Okay. So it was in the comics. His body was the original Human Torch, who was an android. Originally, it was his body.
Okay.
And then the consciousness of Wonder Man.
Wonder Man died. He was a power being, and so to save his consciousness, they shoved it in there, and that's how.
And did Hank Pym do that?
Yes, Hank Pym built the original Ultron,
and also, but did he also put Wonder Man's?
No, that was the Mad Thinker.
Oh, okay.
Because he did that.
Hank Pym is, of course, the original Ant-Man.
And original Ant-Man, right. Which is Michael Douglas in the first Ant-Man movie.
And Ant-Man was one of the original Avengers. They didn't do that, right. so they had to kind of reshuffle the cards a little bit.
At this point, that'd just be too busy, in my opinion.
Yeah. In this one they were supposed to have Ant-Man and Wasp as well.
I think that'd be too much.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So anyway, so now we have Thor names him Vision because he's had the Vision when he was in the pool. True. That's why he calls him Vision.
Right.
Yes. Right. He's now this Vision and right. Okay. All right, and so now Vision's there. They don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Well, right.
So they settle this with one beautiful scene.
I'd be a little off-putting too if another robot, comes out of the blue.
Well, especially since it was originally built by Ultron,
right?
So,
but then he picks up. The hammer, right?
Yeah, they go like, okay, what are we going to do? He says, well, we have to go after him. And so Vision picks up Thor's hammer, hands it to him. We got to go. And everybody's
dumbfounded, right? I mean, I was stunned too. I'm like, Steve?
Yeah.
Because that kind of settles the argument of which side he's on.
Right.
But except for a little comment he says near the end when he's talking to Ultron in the woods. But now Jarvis is gone. And so what does Tony Stark has to do? He's got to put another artificial AI into his system.
Okay.
And so he's got all these little chips sitting over there. One is called Jossica.
Okay.
Which is a robot was the consciousness of the original Wasp. Another long story. Another one's called Friday. He picks up Friday, shoves it into the system. Okay. And that's where we get the girl voice. Another one that was partially covered, and it was ADA541. I have no idea what that is.
And I saw one was also, they said, was a tip of the hat to Big Hero 6 because it was the program that was put in the Bimax in Big Hero 6.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Because there was four, and I couldn't figure out that other one.
Yeah.
So that's what that was. So now they're everybody knows what they're going to do. They got Vision on their side, and they go out to the Sokovia.
And they find that Ultron is in. Back in Sokovia, where it all started,
the Hydra laboratory, because he used all the equipment and the alien software to build all these bodies.
Yes,
yes,
and they're all connected together.
And the vibranium,
vibranium as well, right?
Yeah. Right.
So he's
much bigger now.
Oh yeah,
because Tony makes a crack about are you juicing now? You're
right, and he has this. End of the world scenario, basically.
Right. Yes, which he hasn't revealed.
No,
but all his drones and things have been supplanting throughout the city these engines to defy gravity, to tear the city out of the ground to become a giant
bomb.
Yeah, basically, yeah, like the world ending or the dinosaur ending meteor, basically.
Yes, because he mentions that earlier.
Even worse.
Right, and so his whole plan is to lift the city high enough up that when he drops it, it's going to wipe out all life on the planet.
Yeah, it's
which sadly, I mean, that's actually pretty scientifically solid. I mean, you know, for superhero movies, they do some, you know, some non-scientific stuff, but a city-sized meteor would end life on this planet.
Well, NASA keeps saying that we're way overdue for even a small one to hit the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, just, you know, it hasn't happened, and they're going like, well, clockwork, this has been happening so many centuries. It hasn't happened.
Right, right. So we've been lucky, or we're due.
We're damn lucky, or we're overdue. Like California's overdue for the major earthquake. Right. Yellowstone's overdue because that hasn't gone off in a couple thousand years.
We have to keep Bruce Willis alive. Armageddon.
Off on a tangent.
Okay, so now they end up at the church in the middle of the city because they introduced that earlier. That's where Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver
meet
him.
Ultron for the first time. They find him in this church.
And then
in the center of the city.
Yeah, the center, exact center of the city. And that's when he releases the main engine to his anti-gravity device.
Right. What are we going to call it? Sure.
And so the Avengers get there, and their objective then is, of course, to stop Ultron, stop this whole project. So they're fighting with them, and then they're also helping
evacuate
the city at the same time. Yes.
And then, you know, Ultron goes, screw this, and sets it off. So now the city is lifting out of the ground. They're getting higher in the air. They got everybody, and they now they have all these people.
For the most part, everybody out.
And but who shows up out of the blue?
Mr. Fury with his helicarrier.
Yeah,
with his helicarrier.
And War Machine also shows up.
Yes, War Machine.
War Machine comes.
And Agent Hill.
Yes.
Right. So he's got a skeleton crew. They evacuate the city using the helicarrier.
Right. They get these shuttles.
War Machine is...
Well, they have lifeboats. They have lifeboats going to the helicarrier.
Right. Lifeboats to get the people from the city to safety.
Because
War Machine is running interference from the drones because they're attacking everybody.
Yeah. Right. And then don't forget, the city itself is getting higher and higher and higher. So the air is getting thinner and thinner and thinner.
And Tony is underneath trying to
figure out
a way to contain... The core that Ultron's using to lift the city.
Now, because it's off the ground, they just can't stop it because it'll fall to the ground and it's going to do the same thing. So now they have to figure out how to either drop it slowly or destroy the city. Right. So that's their only two options, reverse the process or destroy it.
Right, but like you said, Ultron just said, screw it at one point. He's like, I'm just doing this.
Yeah.
And he just cuts the engines. And they barely get everybody off the city, and it starts just dropping.
And of course, there's one little quick beat in there that, again, kind of, for me, reinforces who Captain America is. And he's saying, we have to get everyone off. And Romanoff says to him, well, you know, we can't. And what's worth more, the lives on this city or the rest of the lives on the planet? It's not a balanced equation. He says, nope. I'm not leaving until everyone's off the city.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's who he is.
Yeah. That's Captain America.
Right.
Yeah. Again, falling on the wire.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because we all go or we all stay. Right.
They talk about facing the reality that they could, in order to save the city, they may have to die on the city.
And they acknowledge that.
And Black Widow goes like, well, it's not a bad way to go. Look at the view.
Right.
Yeah. And she's looking at the view as it's dropping. Yeah.
And then... Ultron manages to get a fire plane of some sort, and he starts strafing everybody to try to, you know, because he's running out of drones for one thing.
Well, yeah, this War Machine's killing him.
Everybody's taking him right there. And so, you know, so what happens? Hawkeye rescues a boy that
goes to rescue a kid because the mother's looking for her child, and he sees where she is, where the kid is,
and he grabs her, and he realizes he can't get out of the way, so he spins and puts himself between the plane and the kid.
Right.
Quicksilver sees this and he sacrifices
himself and
takes the hit.
And then he says, which he's at the beginning of the movie when he's first showing off his speed, he says to Hawkeye, "You bet you didn't see that coming." And so that's their line back and forth a couple times.
And he says that.
And so then he says that after he gets shot, he said, "I bet you didn't see that one coming."
Yeah, another part when they were having this little tete-a-tete, Hawkeye pulls an arrow and he's pointing at it, and he goes, "Nobody will know." You know, he says, "You know, I could just just do this? And you go like, yeah, nobody would know.
Nobody will miss him.
Nobody will miss him.
I already don't miss him.
Yeah, it says, yeah, Ultron was here. I just, you know, just nobody. You know, so, but just, you know, there was such a tete-a-tete there. Just, I really wish they kept the character going around. But at the same time, the X-Men Quicksilver came out at the same time. So there was battling of Quicksilvers. But anyway, so now they're down to the mass of, you know, everybody collapses to the main engine. And they have their final fight.
Well, and remember, Ultron shows up and Thor says, is that all you got?
Right.
And then all of a sudden there's like,
and I'm like, Thor,
there's like a couple hundred drones.
Why'd you say that, Thor?
Yeah, and then Cap says, you had to ask him, right?
So they decimate everything as much as they possibly can. Now, Tony goes, I figured out a way of doing this, but everybody's got to get off.
Right.
And
and you know what? I just thought about it. Quicksilver died after that because Wanda is in there by herself.
Yeah, and she takes out a whole bunch.
And she takes with her, right, because she can feel that he's dead.
Yeah.
And then she goes to Ultron, and she tells
tears out the heart.
She tears his heart out because she said that's what had just happened to her.
Yes, fine. The main major body. So now he's down to just bouncing his consciousness from drone to drone to drone, not the big one.
Right.
Mm.
Okay, so now they figure out what they're going to do, and they're trying to get everybody off.
Correct.
And then?
All the civilians.
All the civilians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tony, I mean, he decides to blow the thing up into little pieces. I mean,
it goes off.
Right, and that's the only way to do it, is if it's one big piece would decimate
something. I think it's him and Thor, that, like, he does it from the bottom, and Thor from the top.
They do that, so it causes a chain reaction and takes out the whole
thing. And then the remaining drone that Ultron's in is it He's in the escaped. Woods.
Yes.
But Vision catches up to him.
Yes. Correct. And then they have their little tete-a-tete there. I keep like saying that.
Tete-a-tete.
Yeah. They have this talk because they're tied together. Almost.
It is a talk. It's a very.
You know, they do, instead of fighting, they analyze what just happened.
And they're talking a little bit about humans. And he says.
Like two cyborgs, kind of.
Well, he says something about how humans don't see that. They think that organization and chaos are two different things when they're really they're not.
Right.
And then a Vision, and he goes like, "Don't you think that they're not going to survive? You know, why continue this? They're not going to survive." He says, "Yes, I understand they're not going to, but but we're living in the moment.
You know? Maybe a little more foreshadowing."
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, Ultron calls Vision naive, and he says, well, I was born yesterday. And then, as you say, Vision blasts him, but we don't really see it on camera. We see a flash of light from far away.
Far away. He doesn't die on camera.
Oh, that's all. Okay.
Here's the thing is that being...
Ultron does not die on camera.
Yeah, but with any computer program, there's a back door.
Correct.
Okay. There's also fail-safe mechanisms and things that prevent you from like accidentally deleting things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So at the point when you see that flash, how do we know that Vision destroyed him?
Maybe Vision just incapacitated him. Because Vision wanted to use him.
Or maybe Vision didn't have any choice.
Right.
Because the part of Vision is Ultron. So the underlining parts of Ultron could have taken over Vision at that time. And so either one or two things I'm thinking is that the consciousness of Ultron is in Vision and is sitting there waiting for a way out. Or Vision thinks that he destroyed him and didn't.
Could be. Either one could be possible, yeah.
Or, again, I'm going to go with my little scenario is that maybe Vision said, look, I'm going to incapacitate him and quote-unquote, fix him later, you know, to get him on board, so to speak.
Now, in the comic books, and I hate referring to this, that every time that Ultron was defeated, he'd come back, they would add a number to it. So it was like Ultron 4, the next time he's Ultron 5.
So there could be Ultron 2 in Endgame is what exactly. But he'd be fighting... For
we don't know.
We don't know.
Okay. It's just rumor at that point.
Okay. So now we, you know, all the points we brought up, but now they all come back. Now here
they introduce the new Avengers headquarters in upstate New York.
It's not the tower anymore.
Right.
Right.
And we see it looks like some of the same people who were on that, maybe on the helicarrier, some of the SHIELD.
Yeah, they are some former of the SHIELD there.
Former SHIELD agents.
Right.
And Dr. Selvig is there.
Yes.
And we see, and so Captain America and Thor and Iron Man are having a discussion about the hammer still.
Yes.
You know, how did he carry it? He's not really human. And that's the joke about, well, if you drop it in an elevator, it goes up and down. The elevator's not worthy.
Jeez.
Well, they have a point. I mean, it's like if you're on a top of a building and he puts it down, it doesn't burrow its way down to the ground. Oh, it just sits there.
And one other point at the while they're battling on the city, Hulk takes Black Widow off. He picks her up and drops her on the helicarrier, and then he jumps in a Quinjet and takes off.
Right.
She tries to message him, and he turns it off and goes stealth. Right. So we don't know where he is.
Yeah, because the Quinjet or Stark's technology.
She's really upset by this. She's
She thought
something
is.
Was brewing between her.
Because they almost kissed. Well, they did.
They did.
But she kisses him, shows him off a ledge, and he goes, "I need the other guy." Ouch.
Yeah.
But there is something there. Yeah, because he can't go back to Betsy Ross because Thunderbolt Ross would just arrest him.
He also says when they're having that little discussion at Hawkeye's house when he like came out of the shower and he's saying, "Look," he says, we can't do this.
We can't have kids.
I can't have kids.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, and she goes, "Well, I can't either." But
she also goes, "Like, I should have gotten in the shower with you." And he says, "I guess we missed that moment."
Right.
And she goes, "Did we?"
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So there's still something there.
So we have no idea. He can't fly the damn thing, but he's sitting into it. They can't track it. They think they tracked it end.
That's what made me think of it. So when they're at the new Avengers headquarters, Fury approaches Black Widow and says that they spotted something that went into the ocean.
In the drink,
They believe so.
But it could be the Quinjet, but it may not be.
Well, happened to it later on.
Right, and then he says, well, he may have just swam to Fiji and he'll send you a postcard.
Yeah. So he's not dead. They don't know where the Quinjet, because if there was a crash, there would have been wreckage, because then the stealth device would have been turned off from the crash, and then they would have been able to pick it up. So it's still active, and it's not crashed. So they leave that dangling for another
movie.
Right. Then Thor mentions to Captain America and Tony, he mentions that when he had his vision, he saw the four Infinity Stones. Yes. He mentions that the Mind Stone is one of the Infinity Stones. Yes. He says he saw the four Infinity Stones, which have revealed themselves in recent years.
Correct.
And it's the four that we've seen in the movies so far.
Correct.
And so he's concerned. He wants to go find out what's going on with it.
And he knows about the other ones. So he wants to find out where the other two are and why they're all popping up now.
Right.
So he takes off back to Asgard. And he runs the lawn.
Right. And Tony says the man has no care for lawn maintenance.
I love that part.
And then Tony says, "Well, we're gonna miss Thor. You're gonna miss me. You know,
yada yada yada."
But. And so they wind it up with Captain America calling the new group together.
Well, he says to Natasha. He says, "He says, are we gonna go work with our new team? They're not exactly the 27 Yankees, but we got some hitters in there."
Right.
I love that part.
And so we see Wanda, Vision, War Machine, and Falcon all come in for their training.
Yes. So that's the new Avengers.
Almost get Avengers Assemble.
Yes, because that's the big battle line.
Avengers,
cut it off. Now the mid-credit scene
is we see Thanos reach into some contraption where there's the gauntlet. Uh-huh. He puts the gauntlet on and says, "Guess I'll have to do it myself."
Right. And so that may have been the end of the mold or whatever.
Possibly.
At this point, we have no idea what the contraption was. It opens up like a microwave and all these doors open and stuff. It's sitting there. He puts his hand into it and goes,
"Guess I'll have to do it myself."
Yeah, see,
but of course it makes sense because, of course, at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 1, Ronan is dead. He's defeated.
And the stone is with the Nova Corps.
Right.
So, okay, that's the end of Avengers Ultron. There's a lot to unpack. The major Easter egg has still not been found.
So look for it, everybody. And if you find it, tweet us.
Tweet us.
Facebook us.
I have to say, rewatching this, I have a better appreciation for this film.
Yeah,
because when it came out,
it was awful.
I was kind of, it was, for me personally, I loved the first Avengers so much, I thought it was a little bit of a disappointment, a little bit of a letdown from it.
But they jammed so much in it.
And they jammed so much in it. But now seeing it with all the other movies behind me.
The pieces make more
sense. Seeing all the pieces together. I mean, I just rewatched Black Panther recently when it was they brought it back in the theaters for
the
beginning of Black History Month. So I rewatched that recently, so that was a little fresher in my mind. Mm-hmm. So all the stuff with Wakanda and with Claw and with the vibranium, it kind of like all kind of connects together. Yes.
Yes. So, you know, now Marvel is firing on all cylinders, and Disney is still doing a hands off at this point because this one was still on the books. You know, they were in pre-production when this one was out, so Disney's still doing a hands-off.
Sure.
After the next one is when Disney... The
next one is Ant-Man.
Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And that's when everything starts falling apart. because of the director. They replaced the director. They rewrote the script and all
I still liked it, though. I mean,
It was an excellent movie. It's just
we'll get into that next week.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so... stream, buy, or...
Oh, yeah. Skip. Stream, buy, or skip. As a standalone,
I don't know. I don't own it. I don't own it, so I guess I would say stream.
I would say stream. It's obviously, and I think, like we said, even now, it's even more critical to the story now, seeing how all the pieces fit together. It's one you have to watch for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so it's a linchpin to the whole thing. I'm going to say stream as well, but with a caveat, if you like the behind the scenes stuff, the DVD and the Blu-ray has a lot of that in there, and it's really enjoyable to watch that. So if you like that stuff, buy. Otherwise, stream.
Stream.
Yes.
Right. All right.
But don't skip.
Don't skip. You can't.
You'll be lost.
This one. Yeah.
One other thing, too, is you notice some of the tensions that leads to what happens in Civil War, too.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the film, the team is very unified and together, but by the end of the film, there's starting to be some factions
tension. They're second guessing each other.
And everything with the whole Ultron thing, you know, definitely of all people, Captain America was the strongest against Tony Ford. So that's kind of leading up to the headbutting that we get.
They've set up these future movies,
and of course, the whole Sokovia Accords is a result of what happens here.
Yeah,
right.
At Sokovia.
Yeah. So this does play a major part into it.
Yes.
Because if you skip it, you're going to keep going, what, what?
Yeah, no, you have to see this one.
It has to. So, in fact, let's think about, you know, that's 12 films. Viewers, listeners.
This was, I checked, this is number 11, actually.
A number 11.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Still. Number 11 out of 22. So we're at the halfway mark.
Halfway point.
High five.
Yeah.
So, yay. Viewers. If out of those 11, is there anything you can skip but still get the idea across? Let us know. But I want to thank all our listeners here at Geek Culture Online. You can follow us on geekculture.online. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Geek Culture Online. You can follow us on Twitter at
Your Geek Culture. My favorite.
You can write to Ethan at geekculture.online. You can write to Larry at geekculture.online. You can write to me, Patrick, at geekculture.online. I want remember to subscribe, rate, and review all of them at the podcast at any place you listen to your podcast. And next week, it's going to be Ant-Man.
There you go.
All right. So again, thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.